Hi, this is Bria here at Joy on Paper Radio with your Sci-Fi Hour. And we have got an incredible guest here with us today, Glenn L. Erickson. Glenn, welcome into the studio. It is so wonderful to have someone face-to-face. Normally, I am on the phone with someone, so I don't get to see their face. Anybody watching on the YouTube channel or on Facebook Live on my Facebook page, Bria Burton Writer, you will see the two of us sitting in the studio and having this awesome conversation that I cannot wait to get into. I just want to shout out to Patsy, the host of Joy on Paper, and thank her again for this opportunity that she has given me to present you all with a monthly Sci-Fi Hour. I have had so much fun doing these once a month, and I hope to continue doing them for quite some time. So here we are with Glenn, and you may recognize Glenn's voice if you've been listening to the radio show for any length of time. Glenn, you have a couple of ads that you do the voice for.
Yes, I do.
And so as you hear him talk, you will probably think to yourself, that's a familiar voice. And if you didn't know, Glenn is an author, and he is here to talk about a book that is a lot of fun. It's called Murder on Mars, and it's going to be widely released soon, but as of right now, it's on Smashwords?
Yes, it's on Smashwords. It's being shifted over to Draft to Digital. It will be available shortly there. If you go to Smashwords, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, any place like that, you can find any of my books.
Awesome. And as we're going to get into this, I just want to learn a little bit more about you as an author. When did you start writing? Who were some of the influences that you had? Was it, I've been writing since I was a kid, or no, he's shaking his head no if you're not watching live.
No, I've read science fiction or speculative fiction or murder mysteries most of my life. I used to read an Agatha Christie a day sometimes.
Mm. Oh, those books are so good. They're so digestible. You can just, really get into those.
I've Isaac Asimov and others. I've read hundreds, maybe thousands of books that are science fiction, speculative fiction. But it was when I was sitting at a customer site waiting for somebody to fix a machine that I had an idea for a novel, and I just started writing it.
You were an adult at this time?
Oh, yeah. This was 2010, something like that.
Okay.
I was sitting there, and I had an idea, and I was playing with it in my mind, and I just decided to start writing down the ideas about it while waiting for somebody else to get their job done.
Mm.
And it just blossomed from there. And then as I finished that novel, I came up with another story, and then I came up with a couple of self-help books. Because my son made a comment one time that he'd love to win the lottery so he never had to work a day in his life. I'm going, no, you don't. So I started writing a book about that was going to be tongue-in-cheek about winning the lottery. But it became a serious effort. And it's actually called The Lottery Winner's Handbook. And the very first sentence in the book is, this is not a book on how to win the lottery. It's for those of you that are unfortunate enough to have won the lottery.
Oh, that's a great opening.
And it carries it out for there. And it's a self-help book, and it's actually been sold. People have been buying it.
Oh, my goodness.
I'd love to know who they are, because they never reply or they don't respond.
They don't want people to know who they are, probably.
Which is part of the advice I give.
Yeah. Oh, that's incredible.
So it just blossomed from there.
And so were you in the midst of a career and everything? Like, writing was not your main career?
Writing is not my main career. I do a lot of writing in my business. I own two. And I do technical writing, software programming, so forth. But this is my recreation, my imagination. I'll read other people's books, and I'll get a germ of an idea, and I'll sketch it out. And sometimes they just don't pan out. Mm. I just delete them because they're just too far out of my comfort zone.
So you actually delete them. I've talked to some of the authors who have a file where they'll say, okay, I can't do anything with this, but I'll just set it over here. Who knows? Maybe one day that'll show up in a book that I don't expect. I'm like that. I can't delete stuff. I have to have a file. If I've written it, I want it to go somewhere.
I do have a couple of the idea ones that I started that are just tucked away.
Okay.
But the ones that I deleted were just so far afield that they were not,
They were more just an exercise.
They were just too weird.
Too weird.
And then one I was writing prior to this murder on Mars is about a man that they find the United States lands or finds an alien spaceship. And I guess this guy is brought in to help because he knows, understands technology, finds out that the ship is capable of sentience, brings it to sentience, and the story goes on from there. It just, the story took a turn at one point and became almost X-rated.
Oh.
And I went, whoops, sorry, time out. Backed up two chapters, ripped those parts out, deleted the one character that caused the left turn, and then moved the story on from there. And the story turned out very well, and I thought I had saved the X-rated version, or R-rated version, but I can't find it.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so when authors talk about how stories almost take on a life of their own, that's a little bit of what you're describing, where you had no expectation or even a plan to write a certain way, and the story start, and you went, nope, we're not going that way. That is so fascinating, I think, even as a writer who does that. I still find that concept fascinating, of the feeling that the character takes over, and you're just documenting what they're doing, okay. Not as if you're inventing them, but you're just going, I'm along for the ride with this character.
It's like life. If you're in life, you don't know what you're going to meet. You don't know if you're going to encounter road rage. You don't know if you're going to encounter somebody in a store. What direction your life will change because of that encounter. The same thing with my characters. As I live through my characters, I'm seeing their situation through my eyes, taking into account attributes I've given the character. Then, as I'm writing, something will occur, and how would I react to that? Or how would they react to that as a real person? And it goes off, and sometimes it doesn't work, and I delete it, and I'll move into a different direction. But it goes in directions a lot of times I never expected, and it turns out better than what I had thought I had planned.
Yeah,
I'm what they call a pantser, meaning I write from the seat of my pants, and I just let the story take me where it goes.
Yep.
It's worked for a lot of times. The murder on Mars, I tried to be a little more organized, didn't work. And the one I'm working on currently, I'm trying to remain as factual as possible.
Okay.
But it turns out that it's boring because I'm being technically correct in everything that I do, but still imagining future events. I've temporarily shelved it because I don't know where to take it at this point. So they develop themselves, and sometimes I am totally amazed by the direction they take.
And so you've got your initial story that you wrote and put out, and then what led you to write science fiction in particular?
I started out with science, or what I call speculative fiction.
Okay, yeah.
It's science fiction, but I try and keep the science factual. No magic swords or spell
which would head us into fantasy, if that,
But closest I come is matter transport is the closest I come in faster than light travel. I don't try and explain it.
Yeah.
I just use it as a matter of fact. It'd be like trying to explain electricity to an aborigine.
Sure.
You can't. So I just use it because people accept that things either could be possible, and they accept that it could be possible, or it's been exposed to it for so long, they assume that somebody's going to be smart enough to figure it out someday.
Yeah.
So I keep my stories as factual as I can, or as scientific as I can, without getting boring. No calculus, I promise. And I've lost my train of thought.
So that's what got you into sci-fi. And then when you started publishing, what was the decision to go traditional or indie? When did you start making a decision about how you were going to put these books out into the world?
I've never considered going the traditional route. That part is too restrictive. The genres they want have to follow a certain formula.
True.
You have to follow certain formats. And to be honest, my early stories were not that good. They've improved over the years. Their framework is the same, but the writing has improved to where I think they're better than they were, and the people that buy them seem to agree. But trying to fight my way through a traditional publisher didn't appeal to me. I don't have the time or the energy. I did a self-publishing. The negative to self-publishing is I'm one of millions upon millions of books published every year, and I really don't stand out in a crowd until somebody can promote that is knowledgeable, like we're doing here, and people will go, maybe I'll look him up and see if the story's any good, and then if it is any good, they'll tell their friends or give the book to somebody else. I'm not really looking for fame. I'm just looking to empty my mind of the stories that I have and to come up with new ones.
I understand completely.
And it's kind of fun to do.
Yes. And when you publish, you mentioned Smashwords. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of your go-to starting point?
I tried another one called Lulu at first, but their process seemed negative to me. It was not attractive.
Mm-hmm.
I found Smashwords, and what I liked is that they helped format my first book to make sure that the chapters worked, that they related to the table of contents, and that it followed a formula that worked for them. And since I knew they knew
meaning
more than
the digital
I did,
copy someone would get, would all the links would work, and you'd click a chapter and it would actually take you there.
Exactly.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it was a bit of a struggle at first, but it helped produce the book in a readable format. And I still enjoy reading them.
Mm-hmm.
So they also distribute to Barnes & Noble, Kobo, Sony, a bunch of other places. Accesses that I would never have if I was to try and just go out and stand on a street corner with a sign going, I've got a book for sale.
Now, are you exclusively ebook, or do you also have print copies?
I have one print book I printed on Amazon. Amazing, I got that messed up.
It's okay.
I published one on Amazon about a man falling in love with an android who didn't know it was an android until partway through the story. And it worked out well. The first time I published it, I read it when I got my paper copy, and I immediately withdrew it from circulation because I found massive errors that I hadn't known were there. Worked on it feverishly and republished it just a week later, much happier with that copier, that copy. But that's my only hard copy. Now, Smashwords has been moved over to draft to digital.
Okay.
They only put out in one electronic format. I don't remember what it is. And I can have the opportunity to print hard copy, paperbacks.
Paperbacks, yes.
I can do paperbacks. I'm actually half tempted to order about a dozen of each of them.
Mm-hmm.
That will give me a chance to put on a back blurb and so forth, and then be able to hand them out to people from time to time, or go to a conference and sell them from a table.
Yes,
to
yes.
Get wider exposure.
Yes, so I'm not sure if Sheila McNaughton, she is a mystery author here in the Tampa Bay area. She and I go to the Gulfport Indie Fair. It's an outdoor market in Gulfport. We go once a month on the third Saturday and we sell our books. And it's one of those things where you are standing there, hey, here's my book, I'm on the corner, but you're with the market, so it's not like you're just by yourself throwing books at people. And I have to tell you, we have a blast doing it because people want to talk, and we get all kinds of people coming up to us, and we are both very extroverted, and so we will just, hey, who are you, come here, let's chat, and we start talking, and you learn about people's lives, and hey, maybe you want to buy my book, maybe not, but it's fun to talk to you. And so the neat thing is just mentioning to someone what my book is about will get them talking, and you'll learn things about people, and then they'll go, shoot, it's been nice to talk to you. I want to buy your book. And it's a really fun time. So
I want to talk to you more about that offline.
Yes, I was going to say, I would love to connect with you about that event that goes on every month in Gulfport.
Outstanding.
There's other events Sheila and I often look for and see if there's been library events where they have local authors showcased and stuff like that. So if you do get your book in print and want to bring it somewhere, there are opportunities in the Tampa Bay area, which is wonderful for authors.
Mm-hmm.
And any authors listening, same thing. You can look up these different events and find places for your book. And if you want to publish like Glenn and go into Smashwords, which I guess now is drafted digital.
Go directly to draft to digital. I don't know. I've not tried to publish in their format yet, so I don't know how much different it is.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I understand, Smashwords will be no more once they complete the transition.
I see. It's like they bought them out and
I think
they've become draft to digital.
D2D bought them out, I believe. And once they're house has been cleaned,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
they will be closed.
Now, let's get into your book, Murder on Mars. So this is your most recent novel.
Yes.
And as I was reading it, I was thinking, okay, there's a bit of military sci-fi in there. There's a bit of mystery. Like you mentioned reading a lot of Agatha Christie. There's a lot of mystery elements. But it reads like a thriller.
Good.
Was that the intention in terms of your genre, like a sci-fi thriller with some military sci-fi thrown in?
Partially.
Uh-huh,
mainly,
uh-huh.
The book club, the writers club I belong to, Pinellas Writers, has been encouraging me to include more dialogue in my books. I was using a little too much
expository, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I concentrated on being more conversational in this.
I see exactly what they were telling you, and the dialogue
very
is very
well.
Effective in this book.
It's based upon my experience in the military. It's based upon what I've written before, what I've experienced. I'm a fan of SpaceX.
I love watching.
Following what they do.
I don't know where you live in this area, but there are different spots where if I happen to be, for example, I'm a runner, and I was running over the Treasure Island Bridge just after sunset, and there was clearly a launch, and I was going, oh, I have the best view of this right now from this area. It was so cool to be on this bridge, this little drawbridge, looking up and seeing a SpaceX. I don't even recall which one it was, but it was a very cool thing to
yep.
see in the sky. Talk about sci-fi lovers' dreams living here in Florida where you can actually see some of this stuff.
I never managed to schedule myself to see a live launch for some reason. I'm always, oh, it already happened.
Uh-huh.
The whole idea I tried to do here is I wanted to portray a story that people would believe, that was not far-fetched. It has an error in it that I need to correct.
Oh, I don't know if I caught the error.
It's a math error.
Oh,
I
don't often do the math. I know other people do. You'll get your readers who will comment and say, now I loved
will.
Your book, but you had a mathematical error.
Actually, I have a challenge to anybody that does read the book. Find the error. There's a link at the back of the book that will let you contact me and tell me where you found it.
I love that.
So
I love that. So as of right now, if they're looking for the book, where do they get it?
They can go to Smashwords, Draft to Digital, Barnes & Noble.
Oh, Kobo. So they really can get it widely.
Yes.
Okay, so this
published.
Is ebook format.
It is an ebook only.
Meaning you can get it on your Kindle, your e-reader of any kind.
It's in an EPUB format in Draft to Digital. Smashwords, it's in PDF, text, any way you want. For now. I don't know if it's been completely transferred or not.
And the title is Murder on Mars.
Correct.
And the cover is very evocative. I will say, who does your cover art?
There's a man in Canada named Rick McKenzie who does my covers. I just sent him another one to do. That I found the picture of Mars on a website where I could buy the picture. Mm-hmm. And I told him what I wanted to have done to it. And that's all he did is he basically added the blood to the image of the deep
trench. It's a visceral image. I mean, it almost makes you cringe a little bit when you look at it.
It was an instant winner
in the
with
best
the Writers
sense.
Club. Yep, in the Writers Club. It just worked instantly for me. I hope his next one will be as good.
So you're obviously going to use him again.
Oh, yeah. I've already done it, buddy.
I see. Yes. Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it. The whole idea is that it's a story of mystery and ultimately in well-earned revenge at the very end of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy gets the girl.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. It was a lot of fun to read. And I will say, the dialogue piece, shout out to the Pinellas Writers Group.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually Lee Summerall who sent me your info and said, have you had him on the show? You should interview him. And I went, I will. And I somehow missed that you had been on the show before. So this is not your first appearance at Joy on Paper, but it is your first appearance at Sci-Fi Hour, which is a lot of fun. So you've been able to sit with Patsy and chat with her about previous books.
Yes.
What else do you want people to know about Murder on Mars?
I want feedback from them as to whether it's believable, where I left something out so that I can improve it, or where I got a little overbearing, where I could either spice it up or add something to it, or if they even have questions about the science that I describe.
Yes, because
it's possible.
without spoilers, the main character, no surprise, ends up going to Mars. So that's where the main story is set, on Mars. And it's clearly a colony that has been developed, meaning yes. he's not the Martian by himself. He no. goes into this.
There are hundreds of people yes. there. The colony is well established. But it's gotten to the point where they actually found life on Mars in
right,
this book.
Right.
And it was a pink mushroom. But if you dried the mushroom, it became a hallucinant, a strong hallucinogen. And
that's a very important piece of
this.
It's a very important piece of the story to have this mushroom that's a hallucinogenic. Mm-hmm.
So naturally, a drug cartel tried to take it over, and they're not very nice people. And this guy is hired to avenge, find out this cartel, dig it out, and also avenge the murder of his friend.
And this character, I will say, he is a very compelling character. He has, I wanted to say, maybe Native American origin.
Yes.
And he is almost like a Jack Reacher type guy, just very military,
very much so.
Gruff, gets the job done, but also has that heart of gold. He was a really fun character to follow.
He had troubles in his life that caused him to have problems, but because his wife was murdered at one point. But he explained in the book what he did about that mm-hmm. and how it affected him, and then how this event on Mars also affected him.
Right,
helping
yeah.
him to overcome some of the life events.
He's very richly developed. It makes for such an awesome story when you can just follow a character that you have so much development. I can't believe yeah. we're already at the end of the half hour. This has been such a blast. I feel like we could talk and talk. So thankfully, you do live in the area, yeah. and we're going to keep connecting and hopefully even connect over some book signing stuff, which I am so excited about. Let the people know listening, what website can they go to find you?
I don't have a book website
okay.
at all. I have a Facebook page I really don't go to, but you can connect with me at gerickson146@gmail.
Ah, yes. Send direct emails. That's awesome.
I will answer the emails as long as they're polite.
So let's be polite. Ed, Glenn, thank you so much. And I want to thank Big Ed in the studio for hosting us here for Sci-Fi Hour. And coming up next, we will have Zachary Wheeler for the top half of the hour calling in. And it's going to be a blast. Thank you again, Glenn.
Thank you.
Thank you, Big Ed. We're going to go to a commercial break, and we'll be back in just a few. Talk to you all very soon.